We did step on some toes last week a little bit. So this week, though, we want to give everybody some hope and some encouragement. We're going to study a little bit about heaven. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 is our scripture for the week. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hope. And we often think of hope as something that we do. We say, well, I'm hoping for this, or I hope something will happen. But many times in the Bible, hope is spoken of as though it were something. And in this case, he says, we are looking for that blessed hope. So it's something we're looking for. We would say something like, well, we're hoping for, but he didn't say, he said we're looking for the hope. And what that hope is, of course, is the realization of and the confirmation of our faith that we've had in Jesus Christ and in God, that He was going to return and take us home to be in heaven with Him. As you notice there, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says, we're looking forward to this time when there's going to be this appearance made again by Jesus Christ. We call that the second coming usually. We're looking forward to that time because at that time when we see Jesus coming, when we know it, the trump sounds and it's the end of time, then we know that we have not believed in vain. And we're supposed to know that now. That's what our hope is. It's a foundation. It's a solid trust in something that God has made for us. And of course, that hope is dependent upon our faith. Then said that faith is the key that unlocks the door to heaven. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. And I have in my pocket a ring full of keys. I have various different looking keys. Some of them you could tell by looking at them, well, that's your car key. That's your old car key. But then I've got four keys here that all look pretty much just alike. They're shaped the same. And if you just look at them, you say, well, you know, those are all about alike. Well, actually, there's another one shaped at five of them. Five keys on one key ring that all look a lot alike. But only one of those keys will unlock the door to my home. And it's the same way with heaven. Many people talk about the key to success, and they talk about the key to salvation and how to be saved. The fact of the matter is that true faith is the only key that's actually going to work. It's the only one that will get us in the door. When we think about heaven, sometimes we have some odd pictures in our head because of movies and cartoons and different things. We think we're going to be flying around with little wings, playing harps and sitting on clouds and things like that. And the Bible certainly doesn't indicate that we're going to be doing some of those things. In fact, we don't know, the Bible tells us, what kind of body we shall have. But we know that when Jesus appears, ours will be like His. But there's no mention of any wings associated there. Sometimes I think people say because Jesus said in one place, they shall be as the angels in heaven, that people think, oh, we're going to look like the angels. We're going to have wings like the seraphim or like the cherubim. And we're going to have all these wings. No, that's all something that someone has added to the picture. But there are some things that we can know about heaven. We had a little song that we used to sing when I was in college. It said, heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. And even though there are some things in heaven that might not be the same as things here on earth, we know that if we live the kind of life here on earth that will get us to heaven, we're going to enjoy heaven. On the other hand, if we've been miserable here on earth doing some of the things that God commands us to do, then even if we made it to heaven, we'd be miserable, so He probably won't let us in. You know, sometimes I wonder why people say they want to go to heaven when they can't stand praising God. They can't stand learning from the Bible. They don't like getting together with other Christians. Why on earth would they want to go to heaven? Because that's one of the things, some of the things that we're going to be doing in heaven. Oh, I know what it is. It's because they think about the mansions and the streets of gold. And they think that's literal. And since they're obsessed with materialism and physical wealth, then they think that's what they want to do, to have. Or maybe it's just the fact that the other place is so unappealing that they want to choose the lesser of two evils, so to speak. But for some reason, I think there are a lot of people who are choosing heaven and saying, well, I want to go to heaven, even though the fact of the matter is, they don't act like they want to go to heaven. Now let's look at a few things about heaven. You probably don't realize it, but you have been involved in several activities just over the past few days that are things that you will not do ever in heaven. Now, I'm not talking about the times you sinned. We know that those things aren't going to enter heaven. God said He's not going to allow sin into heaven. I'm not going to talk about that. But we're talking about just everyday activities that we get involved in that are things that in heaven we'll never do. Let's think about a few of them for just a minute. Probably sometime in the recent past, you've driven past the cemetery. You went past the cemetery. Maybe even went to a cemetery. You'll never do that in heaven. Because in heaven there won't be any cemeteries because no one dies there. It's a place of eternal life. We won't have to go to funerals. But Xander told me this morning, he said, Danny, and I don't know what brought this up. It was during the scripture reading before class. And he leaned over to me, he said, Daddy, when you die, I don't want to go to your funeral. Well, you know, I don't want to go to funerals either. I hate funerals. Funerals are not fun. In heaven, we'll never have to go to a funeral. There won't ever be a funeral in heaven. And there won't be any cemeteries to have to go past. No lost loved ones that, oh, that, there's a loved one that died a few years ago. And there won't be any of those cases where we'll miss someone that we cared about. Because everyone who makes it to heaven will be there forever with us. And some of you might be thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to go or not after hearing that. But some other things that you've done this week, probably today, at some point, you turned on a light switch. Now, we don't give that the second thought until the power goes out, and then you start flipping that switch like crazy, like that's really going to do some good when the power's out. But you've turned on a light switch. We turned on some light switches when we came in here. Whoever came in first turned on some lights. We do that. It's just human nature now. And of course, a few hundred years ago, they lit candles or lamps. Even 100 years ago, you know, they lit candles and lamps. They didn't have light switches. But they had to get some light because it would be dark. Not in heaven. In heaven, the Bible tells us that the glory of God lightens it and the Lamb is the light of it. And there will be no night there. There's not going to be any night in heaven. There's not going to be any darkness there. The Bible says God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So those of you who are scared of the dark, heaven's a good place to want to go. There's no darkness there. Another thing that you've probably done is face some temptation. Likely you probably gave in to some temptation in the recent past, but I know you've faced some. Even if you overcame that temptation, you've done something that you won't have to do in heaven. In heaven, we won't be tempted any longer. The devil and his workers are constantly busy here on this earth. They're tempting us and trying us and torturing us in various ways to try to get us to lose out on our eternal life that we have in heaven. But once we get to heaven, the devil's not going to be allowed to come up there. His followers aren't going to be there. We won't have to face the temptations that we've been facing. Another thing that you've probably done recently is you've probably visited someone who was sick. Maybe taken someone to the doctor. Maybe gone by to help somebody fix them a meal. Or somebody who was shut in and gone to see them. Maybe even just called someone who was sick and said, "Hey, you know, I heard you're sick. How are you feeling?" Let you know you won't ever have to do that in heaven. Because there is no sickness there. Sickness came into this world as a result of sin. As a result of the fall of man with Adam and Eve. Sin entered the world and death entered by sin. And one of the ways that death entered was through sickness. Another thing that you've probably done is taken some sort of pain reliever. Maybe an aspirin or Tylenol. Maybe something stronger. I don't know. But you've taken some kind of pain reliever. Especially with this crazy weather. I'm sure those of you who have some arthritis, I know that's been acting up. And you've been having to take something for that pain. You'll never have to do that in heaven. There's not going to be any pain in heaven. Not only is there no sickness, but there's no pain. Now, you know, sometimes we think about pain being can be a good thing here on this earth. I mean, you know, you touch something that's really hot, your hand sends signals to your brain to say, pain, pain, that hurts. And so you pull your hand away before you get hurt really badly. So pain can be a good warning for us. But we won't need it in heaven. Because in heaven there won't be anything dangerous or anything that can harm us. We won't experience that pain. Chances are, you locked your doors. You won't have to do that in heaven. Because there won't be any theft. There won't be any crime. No murder. No rapes. No assaults. No burglaries. No armed robbery. No crime in heaven. You won't have to worry about locking doors. For one thing, you won't have any possessions anyway. Because everything will belong to God anyway. You won't have to worry about owning anything. You'll have everything you need and you won't need to have anything else. But you won't have to lock your doors. You know, every night when you go to bed, you'll put that lock up on the door. Turn that deadbolt. Set the gun out if you're Doc. You know, get the gun ready just in case. You know, we worry about things like that here on this earth. But you know, we'll never have to face that in heaven. We won't have to lock our doors. Chances are, real good chance of this, that at some point, you saw an old person. Somebody said, yeah, every morning when I wake up and look in the mirror, I see an old person. But we see old people all around us. But you know, in heaven, we won't age. We won't get older. We won't have to face the difficulties that we face when our vision dims and our strength fails and our hearing starts to go and our memory leaves us. And we don't have the energy to do the things that we desire to do anymore. We won't have to face that. No one will get old and suffer the ravages of old age in heaven. There's probably a pretty good chance that at some point you wept. You cried. You shed some tears. some of the guys said, I mean, I don't ever cry. Well, yeah, we know you cried when nobody was looking. You're crying on the inside, even if the tears don't come out on the outside. But probably something happened that made you shed a tear. But in heaven, there won't be any tears. God is going to wipe away all the tears from every eye. We'll have to face those problems, those worries, those sadnesses. And I don't know how He's going to do it. I know all of us have family members who aren't Christians. And we sang the song, When the Saved Get to Heaven. And we know only the saved are going to be in heaven. And we know that all of us have some loved ones who are lost, that won't get to heaven. And I know that if I had to spend all eternity thinking about those loved ones that didn't make it, I'd be crying. I'd be sad. I'd be miserable. So somehow, though, God is going to wipe all of that away. I don't know if He's going to wipe that from our memory or what. The Bible doesn't tell us how He's going to do it, but He's going to wipe our tears away. And there's not going to be any sorrow. There's not going to be any heartache. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying there. Boy, doesn't that sound like a wonderful place to go? And see, we focus so much of our attention sometimes on this world and calling it home and thinking of it as home. This isn't home. That's home. Don't you want to go home? I don't mean, you know, I want to die right now so I can go. Oh, that's not what I mean. You know, the little class and the teacher asked, okay, who wants to go to heaven? And all the kids raised their hand except for one. I know that one would be my son. He tells me this all the time. I'm worried about this. But you know, she said, now, wait a minute. Did you hear the question? Don't you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. And this one little boy still didn't raise his hand. She said, well, what's wrong? Don't you want to get to go to heaven after you die? And he said, oh, yes, ma'am. I thought you were talking about going right now. Well, sometimes that's the way we feel. We do want to go, but we're not in a rush to get there. But we need to understand that it is a wonderful place. It is a place that we ought to want to go to. If we do want to go there, then we're going to have to live like we want to go there while we're here on this earth. Because this life is a preparation for that life. If we don't enjoy being in communion with the saints and fellowship with the saints, if we don't enjoy praising God and worshiping God, if we don't enjoy talking to Him and letting Him talk back to us through His Word, if we don't enjoy staying away from the sin in this world, we're not going to have much of a good time in heaven. Because sometimes we seem to think that the only things worth doing, pick on Ron because he always says it, why is all the things worth doing are either illegal, immoral, or fattening? You know, that, but sometimes, you know, I know we joke about things like that sometimes, but let's really feel like that. We feel like, well, you know, I can't have any fun if I'm a Christian. There's nothing fun to do. There's nothing that I want to do that I can do. God just has all these rules. Don't do this and don't do that and don't. There's nothing fun. But that's not true. We just need to redefine what we enjoy. You know, chances are when you were a child, you didn't enjoy some of the things that you do enjoy now as an adult. Chances are, when you were a child, you did enjoy some things that now you don't. I remember as a child, it snowed a couple days. I remember as a child, I'd go out and play in the snow from the time the sun came up till after it was dark at night. I'd play all day in the snow. And I tell you what, yesterday after 5 minutes, I was ready to go back inside where it was warm. I just, I didn't want to get out there and play in that snow. But the kids go, can we go back outside and play in the snow? No, let's stay inside. It's warm. But our likes and dislikes do change. We can train ourselves to like the things that God likes. We can learn it. You know, I've learned to eat some things that I didn't think I'd ever like to eat, and now I actually like them and sometimes want to cook them and eat them. But when I was a kid, I couldn't stand that nasty stuff. And all of us have things like that. We learned to like, we call that an acquired taste. Now see, Christianity and heaven and a desire for heaven, those are acquired tastes. Takes a little extra sophistication to acquire a taste for those things, but in the long run, it's going to make you so much better off. We sing that song, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? I hope you do. There is no place on earth that can possibly compare with the beauties of heaven. We need to be focusing our attention on getting there. We need to remember, the Bible tells us, all of the things that are seen are temporary, but those things which are unseen are eternal. You know, living forever on this earth would be a very sad thing. You could live forever, watch friend after friend die, lose loved one after loved one, suffer pain after pain and injury after injury and sickness after sickness. Can you imagine? But in heaven, to live forever is such a different story. To be able to live with loved ones and never have to say goodbye. I think about that when Xander says something about this, I remind him, I say, you know how when we go to see Grammy and Papa and we only get to stay for a couple of days and then we have to say goodbye and come back home. So when we get to heaven, it won't have to be that way. We can stay with them forever. We won't have to say goodbye. He'll get it one day. You know, he'll understand that one day. He still struggles with that because, you know, he's still struggling with those ideas. But one of these days, he'll get that. He'll understand how wonderful that can be. One more thing that you won't have to do ever when you get to heaven, although this may, some of you may not like this, you won't have to fall asleep in any more sermons. You'll not have to sleep through any more sermons, and not only that, you won't have to sit through any more sermons. That in and of itself ought to make it worth going. Won't be a need for preachers up there. In fact, some people have said that there won't be any preachers up there because the book of Revelation says there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. So that proved there weren't any preachers. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we won't need preaching, because the purpose of preaching is to teach and to encourage us to do what is right and to stay away from sin. We'll need to do that up there. So I'll be glad to be out of a job. I won't have to worry about that. I did like the one statement, and I think it very appropriate for tonight's crowd. Although I think we've got about as many here tonight as we had this morning, but for this morning's crowd too. The preacher was complaining to God about the fact that his Sunday attendance at church just wasn't enough people coming to church like they should. And God reminded him, you know, my attendance in heaven is not what I'd like for it to be either. If you're excited about going to heaven, if you want to go there, why don't you share that desire with somebody else? Help them to want to go there too. We do it with so many other things. When we hear about a wonderful thing, We want to share it with everybody. Oh, did you hear about the sale at such and such store? Or, oh, have you eaten at such and such a restaurant? Or, oh, have you played this game? Or, oh, have you watched this TV show? Or, oh, have you seen this car? If we can do it with things like that, then why can't we say to people, hey, let me tell you what I learned about heaven. Don't you want to go with me to that land? If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you need to get your life right so that you can go to that land. If you have any other need to respond to the invitation as well, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.